Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is May 22nd, 2013. It's Wednesday, and I want to thank you for listening to the program today. What a day it has been. And I want to again thank you for joining us. And this program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And our telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. Today we're going to be touching on some retirement pension fund, about how they're going to tap into it, how the government will be tapping into your pension fund. We're going to be talking about taking the fifth, and we're also going to be talking about immigration and the British soldier that was hacked to death in the streets of London. But first, let's get to the markets today. Gold today, very interesting day in the markets. Both gold and silver, I think, did extremely well considering the events of the day. You have right now, you're looking at gold down $10. At $13.66. You have silver down 12 at $22.41. Platinum was up $4 at $14.73. Palladium, $750. Not a lot of change in that price there. But you did have the USDX today trading stronger, 0.47 at $84.29. And you had crude oil down $2. At $94.18. So with those two numbers there, with the USDX and crude oil, they did try to get gold down lower. We had a low of $13.54, but the high on the day was $1,416. So, and on silver, we had a high of $23.46. So they were up strong this morning. And, of course, Ben Bernanke came out with his little bit of double speak, and the markets did what they did, and including the stock market. You had a rally in the stock market after he finished speaking. We're saying that perhaps in the near future, they'd be able to pull back on the quantitative easing, but only after certain things would be met. And, of course, you had a rally in the market. It was up over 100 points. Right now we're looking at the Dow down 89 at 15,298. The NASDAQ was down 41 points at 3460. S&P down 14 at 1654. The 10-year note is trading higher today, 0.203, up 0.08. So that even bumped up over that 2 level. And but interesting, he came out, Al. Good afternoon, Al, first.
Hello, Melody.
Hi, Al.
Bernanke is talking again. Doesn't he know he shouldn't be doing that?
I don't know. He probably shouldn't.
They were up 250 points, and after he talked, they're down 112 or something. Is that true or false?
Oh, they were up three digits, about 150 points earlier in the day. About 150 points, and now they're down 89, the markets. So even gold had a huge swing today in the numbers. I saw one report where the swing was as big as $50. So a lot of move in the markets today, and they can't – everyone believes that it's simple to remove the easing, the quantitative stimulus from the markets, Al, and it's just not that easy. They can't
I don't even know how easy it is. I mean, you can, they can, it's like turning off a light switch if they want to. They can just stop supplying the money.
They could.
I get that. But the point is, the only reason the markets are up is because of quantitative easing, or at least that's the primary reason why they're up, is because of quantitative easing, which is nothing more than injecting amphetamine into the body of somebody who is damn near dead. Then they jump up and dance around. All right, you get them high. All right, fine, they're going to dance for a while. But the point, everyone seems to understand, and the market understands, that if Bernanke cuts off their fix and they can't get their amphetamine, the markets are going to go down. And just the thought of him cutting off their drug supply, that being quantitative easing, $85 billion a month, drives the markets down. So, oh, my God, they're going to make us try to survive without drugs. Huh? They haven't even cut the drugs off, and the drug addicts are still having a reaction. What does that tell you about the markets, about the equity markets? What does it tell you about the extra money that they've or the gains they've made over the past several months? Tells you the markets understand that the gains are artificial. They're manipulated. They are not caused by supply and demand. In a free market, they are caused by artificial stimulation by the government. The government's threatening to stop the artificial stimulation, which has to happen sooner or later. Now, when they're going to stop quantitative easing, who knows? I don't know. But it can't work forever. You can't just keep on injecting money into the economy without any production to back it up. Where's this $85 billion coming from that they're injecting every month? It does not reflect an increase in productivity. It's just, it's like somebody letting me use their MasterCard. You know, I can look like I'm living large for a week or two because I've got somebody else's MasterCard, but when they find out what I've done to their MasterCard, they're going to say, stop that, at which point I no longer can live large. It's more evidence that the economy is fragile and in danger. And it's only the artificial stimulation that's holding it up. And that being the case, if we are in difficult, dangerous, fragile times, it tells you you need to put your money in a safe haven. Where's the safe haven going to be? The implication is gold. It raises the implication. Even though the price of gold is falling again today, we see it down another over $10 today and so on. All that means is it's time to buy. You know, if you see the Dow Jones is moving downward just because Bernanke has threatened to shut off the quantitative easing, just tells you how vulnerable those markets are. What will happen to them if he does shut off quantitative easing? It fell 100 points today because he threatens it someday, sometime maybe. What's going to happen if and when quantitative easing actually ends? Will the markets fall 100 points? Or will they fall 1,000 points? Or will they fall 5,000 points? where do you want to be? You know, where do you want your wealth under those circumstances?
Well, you know, Al, I mean, that was a 250-point spread today. And what's interesting, I think a lot of times they come out and they just, I think this was a test of the market. I think this was a test to see exactly what the markets and how reactive the markets would be to his speech and to whatever he says. I mean, there's even commentary saying that, you know, he's not going to do anything until September anyway, because that's when they'll have to address the debt ceiling. You know, they say Labor Day is, you know, the end of the debt ceiling, and they go into that scenario once again, which is a bad time of the year, because we all know what happens to the stock markets the last part of the, you know, the last quarter, third quarter, and last quarter are the worst times for the stock market, but also the best time for gold. So, you know, here it is talking September, and you had this type of reaction today. So I think they test the market to see how it reacts. They know how it's going to react. They came out with the housing numbers. They're still strong. The National Association of Realtors said existing home sales edged up in April, matching everybody's expectations. But again, even if you even look into that section of the economy, we all know that these are investing homes, investor homes. That people are going into. It's not people buying homes. It's being led by investors. And, you know, you can have that can make the surge in home prices that we've seen. But, you know, it also usually will end badly when you have a
It's all going to end badly.
It
this
is
thing
going to,
is a farce that's been running since 1933 when they took us off the domestic gold standard, and by 1968 when they terminated the silver standard, and 71 when they terminated the foreign gold standard, where we wouldn't redeem. And we have a pure fiat currency since 1971.
Yep. Yep. That's
everybody knows this. I've seen a report, an analysis from, I don't remember the source, but in the history of man, there have been something like 275 attempts to install a fiat currency. And right now, all of them, 255 or thereabouts, have failed and blown up the economies, each of their economies, when they did fail. And right now, there are allegedly, according to that report, there are still 23 fiat currencies in business right now. And it's just a question of time before they also join the other 250 that have already failed. And when they do, the economy is going to collapse. Everybody knows this when they start the fiat currency, but they do it anyway because there are people in positions of power who think they can. It'll get them reelected. They can make a fast buck. It'll be profit for them and to hell with future generations. When the stuff hits the fan, they won't be around. That's their attitude on this. Well, the stuff is now on the verge of hitting the fan, and it's not just the fault of people in positions of power. It's the fault of people who vote. It's the fault of people who support candidates, and they buy their BS in large measure because most people don't take the time to try to study and learn anything about any issue that concerns them. All they want to do is be a fan for a particular hooray for our side. Huh? Where is the truth? What's the fundamentals? I mean, how did we get into a fiat currency without the American people rioting? Why didn't we riot? It's because we'd be dumb. That's why they've been doing it all my life, and we've trusted the government. It was a big mistake, but it's not just the fault of government. It's the fault of the people, because the people spend more time watching Dancing with the Stars than they do trying to learn to understand fundamental principles of economics, for example, the money system. I had a friend that back in the 90s, he had a degree in government, I think, from one of the universities, and he conducted an experiment where he was taking these, it was during the Clinton administration, and he would take $6 bills. They were jokes, all right? There was a picture of Bill Clinton on one side and a picture of Monica Lewinsky on the other side. And anyone could see these were not real dollars. No, they weren't. Huh. And yeah, how many you got? he'd walk into a convenience store, like a 7-Eleven, and he would give them to the clerk. He'd buy himself a Slurpee and a hot dog, and he'd give them to the clerk, and the clerk would give him a dollar and a half change. And he said the only problem they had is they couldn't figure out what one of the little drawers to put the $6 bill in. They've got on that tray in the cash register, there's a space for the ones and the fives and the tens and the twenties and so on. There wasn't one for the sixes, so they just put it under that tray where they put the $100 bills and so on. Well, the point was, and most of these people who did this were immigrants. They were working in 7-Eleven and glad to have a job, and you can kind of understand why they would make this mistake, but it's not so different from most people. They think the only thing you need to know about money is how to count it. The vast majority of the American people have no idea of what money is. They don't get it. They don't understand the political consequences, the legal consequences of the kind of money that you use. And they just, hey, how do you count it? That's all. They know that a 5 is better than a 1 and a 20 is better than a 5. That's what they know. And I guarantee you, if that's all people know about money, if that's all you understand, you be dumb. Yeah? And it is. The average person thinks that trying to learn anything about money, that, well, what do you need to know? It spends. What else do you need to know? It goes to who gets legal title to the property that's purchased, right? Who gets legal title? Who gets equitable title? Who gets both titles, if anyone? And what does this difference make whether you are using a true tender gold and silver coin? When you do, you have an opportunity to acquire both legal and equitable title to property. When you only use legal tender, which is what we have right now in these green pieces of paper in our wallet, you're only going to get equitable title to property that you purchase with it. And as a result, if you have a case to take to court that involves a piece of property and they understand it's been purchased with Federal Reserve notes, your case will be heard in equity rather than at law. And I know very well that the vast majority of people listening to what I'm trying to explain right now have no idea what I'm talking about. But it makes all the difference in the world if you can get into a court of law. Even the judge is bound by the law. In a court of equity, the judge can rule according to his own conscience. He can do whatever he thinks is right. And if he doesn't like the color of your eyes, he doesn't like your politics, he can take that property away from you. It goes to whether you're going to be a free man living in your own, where your home is your castle, or if you're going to be a sharecropper living on someone else's property. The result of using this damned legal tender, it changes your lives, ladies and gentlemen, and there's way, way more to it than just counting it up and say, ooh, I got 100, I got 1,000, I got 100,000. 100,000 what? And I guarantee virtually no one understands. And I understand it's, you know, it may be bad radio to try to communicate something that people don't understand, but it's part of the reason we have this trouble. No one understands what money is, or virtually no one, and therefore people who do are in a position to exploit the rest of the people. I'm going to give you a piece of paper, and I'm going to write, I owe you $5 on it, or $500, or $500,000 on a piece of paper, and you can go and spend that someplace. Only it's not real money. And so far as you're willing to accept that phony baloney piece of paper in your wallet, you are going to lose your rights. You're going to lose your liberty. You're going to wind up being a bond servant, a debtor all your life. Your children are going to be debtors. The world will treat you as a second-class citizen at best while you're just dancing around counting. There's way more to money than just mathematics. And if people aren't going to get that and they don't understand that a piece of paper is considerably and enormously different from a disc of gold or silver, if you don't get that, if you don't really understand what we're talking about, then you're in big trouble. You are going to be easily hustled. You're like a child who would trade a title to a mansion for an ice cream cone. And that's what's happening. And it, again, it's not just the fault of the government, the bankers who exploit us. It's the fault of people who have not made an effort to learn the nature of money. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What up, Melody? What do folks need today?
Oh, they also need to go to the website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can also listen to the archives on the we've posted the archives for the past couple of years, so you can go in there and listen to those. We post our daily archives, and then they go to the longer section. DGScoins.com. And if anybody has a question for the program, they can send us an email, questions@DGScoins.com, questions@DGScoins.com. And if you have any comments or questions, and we'd kind of like you to stay on topic, of you can call us at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. This program we do this program live at 4 o'clock Eastern time, and it gets replayed throughout the day, probably 10 times on various stations across the country, various other hours on shortwave radio. And so if you have a question at that later time, email us at questions@dgscoins.com, and we'll make sure we address the question so that you can hear. Most of the specials also that we give, I will try to extend it as long as possible for the late night listeners or even the next day. So don't think you can't call for that special just because you hear the program a day late or later on in the evening.
All right, Melody, what's next?
Well, I think something that's bizarre, a British soldier was hacked to death in the streets of London today, and by two black men. And he was wearing a Help for Heroes T-shirt. It took place in southeast London's Woolwich area, only yards from the Royal Artillery Barracks. And the police arrived, and they did shoot the two suspects. And they were to be in their mid-20s. I guess they are hospitalized. A number of weapons were retrieved from the scene, including carving knives, a firearm, and a machete. And they were literally hacking this guy apart. They were cutting him up. And I even saw reports that they actually had decapitated him. And they also said that... there was reference, the article that I'm looking at doesn't say anything, but there was reference that these guys were Muslim, and in the end they were praying out that God is great and, you know, just the typical things. So to me that's very bizarre, just to be in the middle of the street.
I'm sure on one level it sounds bizarre, but what it is evidence of historically. The definition of a nation has been one race, one culture, one language, one fixed territory. Huh? That has been the definition of a nation. When you start trying to mix nations, you invite that kind of problem. And a lot of people say, oh, that's, you know, it's racist talk. What it is just a certain amount of common sense. England has allowed England to become something significantly different from what England was for centuries. They have invited people from other races, other religions to join in. Come on down to England. We'll all have fun. Well, they're beginning to see it's not going to be that much fun. This is an illustration of that principle to my mind, and we're doing the same thing in this country, and they have some idea that everybody's just going to get along together. When we create, and I'm talking specifically about illegal aliens coming into this country, when we talk about setting up a nation where we are going to have more than one language, we're going to speak in Spanish for the convenience of anyone who wants to come up here from Mexico, come on up and we'll speak in Spanish for your convenience. And what we're doing is we are making this nation more fragile. In the end, that dual language capacity is going to come back to bite us. It will divide this country. You can move up here now and you don't have to be an American. You can still be a Mexican. You just live on this side of the border. You can establish a Mexican culture. Why are people from Mexico coming up here? And the reason is because, historically, it's because Mexico sucks. And the reason Mexico sucks is because it's overrun by Mexicans. And when they get to this country, the first thing they want to do is what we need are more Mexicans. If we needed more Mexicans, why would any of them be here in the first place? Why not go to where all the Mexicans are, which is Mexico, the paradise? They want to get away from Mexicans, yet when they come up here, they want to bring more with them. In the end, it is damaging to the nation. And I don't even say that as a patriot. I'm just saying that this is a fundamental principle that's existed for thousands of years. And they have some idea that we can just mix these nations. What ultimately happens is each nation, when you start combining two dissimilar nations, you wind up, it's a certain amount of divide and conquer. People wind up fighting with the other people that are coming into your country. You wind up fighting with them rather than keeping an eye on your own government. For me, it's a divide and conquer. It's a situation. It's a strategy to diminish the strength of what was the United States of America. And as we continue to invite more people, and sure, let's bring in some more Muslims. Oh, they're the religion of peace. Bunk! You're crazy to let more Muslims in this country. And I have respect for the Muslim faith, but I still recognize that it will cause nothing but trouble over time. You build up enough Muslims, I guarantee we're going to see trouble. It's the same thing with bringing illegal aliens in from Mexico and encouraging them. We're going to give them amnesty. We're going to give them Social Security. We're going to give them free medical care. We're not going to punish them. We're going to reward them for their criminal behavior. And somehow people think this is going to work out and we're going to have a better country. They're out of their freaking minds. We're going to get to a point where there's so many Mexicans in this country that there won't be enough people who are born here to move the Mexicans back out. And I like the Mexican people. I've lived in Mexico a couple of times. But I understand you can't expect to mix two different cultures, two different races, two different languages, and still maintain a nation. The nation will be divided, and it becomes weaker, and everybody, in theory, we aren't going to be improved on that basis. I look at it as the influx of foreign people, increasingly foreign people. I don't mean, you know, as the dissimilarities grow, you're just causing more trouble. You are. We're trying to play nice. And the people who say, oh, we'll all kumbaya, we're all sing kumbaya and we'll all be buddies and pals. That's a great idea. I love it. Except it just doesn't work that way. It hasn't worked that way. Look at how well we've assimilated blacks into this culture. They still want their own culture. They want to be separate. The Mexicans come up here, and we are allowing them, encouraging them to maintain a separate culture. How can this work well? England is seeing, in my opinion, the story you're telling about two black guys chopping up some white policeman or white military officer, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But in any case, we're just looking. This is what's going to happen. Bet on it. Bet on it. And you can't continue to run your life on the basis of, gee, wouldn't it be ideal if we all just got together and we were all pals? It's not going to work that way. It's never worked that way, and it's not going to work that way in the foreseeable future. And no matter how idealistic people may be, someone actually has to, somebody's actually got to be objective. They've got to see what's really going on in this world and proceed from there. Yeah. We're going to pay a price. It's like we were talking about at the beginning. We were talking about people don't understand the nature of money. They don't understand anything other than how to count it. We live in a world where we want to believe in fairy tale endings and we can be as dumb as we want to be. We're Americans. We're entitled to be ignorant. We don't have to learn anything. Well, you're going to learn something, ladies and gentlemen. You are going to learn a lot in the next several years. You're going to learn things that you wouldn't have thought were possible, and you are going to learn things that are going to be painful to learn. And the reason is because we've settled into a world where we think we can live on the basis of nothing more than if it feels good, do it. There'll never be a consequence. Let's live as if it was an ideal world. Well, let's watch and see how that works out. I guarantee it's not going to work out well. And those of you who want to maintain your ignorance and you want to maintain your naivete and you want to surrender your responsibility to your congressman and your senator and your president, they are going to gut you. And the only way you get around it is first you begin to educate yourself to what's true and you begin to apply that education to your life. And even when things sound ideal, you have to sit back and say, wait a second, that's not going to work. I know it's a great idea. I wish the world worked that way, but the world doesn't work that way and it never has. And it's not likely to start anytime soon. So it's just one small incident in England that gets me running on this, but for me, I see a lesson. You know, for me, there's a lesson here.
Murray said, just wait and see what happens to the country when the Muslims demand their Sharia law.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I understand. I understand. And why do they come here? And what's really insane about this, Muslims come here. Why do they come here? Why don't they stay in a Muslim country? If the Muslim faith is such a wonderful faith, why are they coming to a Christian country, or at least what was a Christian country and is still predominantly a Christian country? Why? It's because the Muslim faith cannot produce a decent standard of living in 9 out of 10 countries where it exists. The Muslim faith is not conducive to freedom. It's not conducive to liberty. It's not conducive to prosperity. Huh? That's the reality of it. So they say, let's go to the United States of America. We'll move in there and we'll have freedom and liberty and prosperity and we'll still be Muslims. And I'm saying, no, you won't. Your faith condemns you to the lifestyle you see in the Middle East. Your faith is not conducive to the kind of freedom and liberty that is essential to generating the kind of prosperity that this country was at least once famous for. And the Muslims think they can come here and they'll just enjoy the prosperity. You're not going to enjoy the prosperity until you become Christians. And they're not going to do that. And then when they get here, they are going to claim they're being discriminated against or whatever. And this isn't in all cases. I don't want to, but there is going to be an element of claims. Oh, you're discriminating us. We have freedom of religion. We get to do what we want to do. And even if it's contrary to fundamental values that brought this country up to something spectacular, they come in with a completely different system of values and they think they can still have the same prosperity. It won't happen. It won't happen. I know that some Muslims will do very well. I understand that. But I'm trying to communicate the idea that if you want something another people have, you can't just move in and have it. You have to become like those other people are. And the more people we bring in that are Muslim, the less people that will embrace the values that brought this country up in the first place. As fewer people embrace the values that brought this country up in the first place, the country will begin to slide down the pipe. Huh? And then what? How is this going to work out? It is self-destructive. It's suicidal to fail to understand your own culture, including the bad parts of your own culture. Not just the good parts. You got to understand the good. You got to understand the bad. Of your own, and understand the good, and understand the bad, of the foreign. And you've got to make a balance on this. You've got to make an intelligent, objective decision. Do we want more people who believe this particular system of ideas to enter this country? Can we keep this country anywhere close to what it once was? Can we maintain that by allowing people to come in with a different system of values? And the answer is no, no, and no. It isn't going to happen. So, I don't know. You look at this sort of thing, and it infuriates me on one level. I see what's happening, and I read it. I don't see it as just adverse consequences from people who had good intentions. We have wonderful intentions. We'll all sing Kumbaya. We'll all be buddies. No, you're not. Wake up. There hasn't been peace between the Jews and the Arabs in the Middle East for some considerable time. There isn't likely to be, or rather than saying Arabs, the Muslims. There isn't likely to be peace between the Christians and the Muslims in the foreseeable future. And this is perhaps as much the fault of the Christians as it is of the Muslims, but the fact remains, if you've got one religion, if you've got one set of values for your culture, fine, don't bring other people in. Or if you do, prepare to change your system of values, or they have to change theirs. I saw something from, Russian President Putin, and he was talking over in Russia just recently, and he was talking about immigrants coming there, and he says, this is Russia, and it's for Russians, and we speak Russian in this country, and if you want to move in, you will embrace and respect our culture, and if you want to maintain your own culture and isolate and just live here but don't be part of the existing culture, I said, we don't want you. Go away. We don't need you. Get out. Yet we have a bunch of politicians say, no, we'll bring anybody into this country and somehow they'll just be assimilated. That is a bunch of crapola. And it's dangerous to everyone, including you and me and your children and mine. Somebody's got to get their head screwed on straight and start to deal with the problems that we have in this country in a way that is objective, reasonable, rational, even though it may not sound politically correct. We're still going to have to deal with the truth, and we will. I guarantee we are going to deal with the truth. It may not be politically correct, but we will be forced to confront the truth in the foreseeable future. And when that happens, a whole bunch of people are going to be shocked and unhappy and brutalized before they're done because they don't want the truth, they want the lies. Well, the lies are going to end, and when they do, there's going to be hell to pay. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What else, Melody?
We got a question in from Ivan. He talks about the plunge protection team. He wants to know, is the Dow controlled by them? And the Plunge Protection Team wasn't the original name. It's the Working Group of Financial Markets. They were actually tagged that name or by an article back in, I think it was back in the late 90s. But anyway, his question is, which in turn is controlled by the Feds? Also, how large is the Plunge Protection Team with respect to the number of individuals? So is the Dow controlled?
Well, it's certainly influenced. You know, I mean, there's a point where what do you mean by controlled? Do you mean absolutely controlled? No, it's not absolutely controlled, but it is controlled to such a degree that you can't refer to it as a free market. And who created the Plunge Protection Team? What administration?
Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan. This goes back into the 80s. Huh? When Reagan, he created it because we'd had a September, I think a Black Friday or
September.
87.
Crash of 87.
Maybe. That sounds about right.
Yep.
And they created a plunge protection team that was going to protect. The market dropped hundreds of points in just a relatively short period of time. And the government said, we can't have that. We've got to protect that. We've got to protect the markets. And so we will create the plunge protection team. They didn't call it that at the time, but that's what it's come to be called.
Right.
And we will make sure that the markets can never fall more than, I think it's 300-400 points in a single day. Well, on one level, it sounds like a good idea. All right? Seems like a good idea, maybe a necessary idea. But as soon as they did that, they said, we're entitled to control the markets. They said, oh, it's only good control. Make sure nobody loses more than 300 or 400 points in a particular day. If the market falls more than that, then they would exert influence from a couple of different departments of government, and they would stop the market from falling. They'd buy stocks, and they'd stop the market from falling. Well, once you create, by law, the ability for the government to control the markets, you're talking about, at the same time, how far is that from the ability of government to manipulate the markets? And what starts out as an attempt to prevent the markets from falling. And some people say, well, that's good. That's protecting wealth. Well, yeah. How long before somebody sits back and says, well, if protecting the markets from falling is good, what if we were able to exercise even more power to make the market go up? We won't just stop it from going down. We'll make it go up. And that would be really, really good. And people in positions of power, people in the market say, this is great. The markets can't lose. We can't miss because the government won't let them fall down and they stimulate them to make them go up. You can't miss. Bet on stock. You can invest in stock and you can't lose. But sooner or later, you come to the moment when you can lose, right? As in 2008. And we haven't seen the end of it. And part of the problem, no matter what the good intentions may be, we're going to prevent the markets from going down. We're even going to make the markets go up, and we're doing that with quantitative easing right now. We talked earlier in the program. Ben Bernanke threatened. He just suggests maybe we're going to end quantitative easing. The markets fall 250 points. They're up 150, and they wind up 100 points down. The markets drop 250 points based, apparently, on Bernanke's little comment that maybe, all right? That's evidence that the only thing making the market go up right now is quantitative easing. It's government stimulus. It's exactly the flip side of the same coin. We have a plunge protection team, and we have a stimulus manufacture manipulation team. It's evidence of an economy that is controlled from the top down. There are people in positions of power in Washington who think they are so smart and the need of this country is so great that we can't afford a free market. We've got to have markets that are controlled by the government because it's vital to the economy. The free market is decentralized. A true free market, no one is exerting undue influence in the free market. It's you and me and Melody and everybody else, if you care to invest in the market, and we wind up, and sometimes we make the market go up, and sometimes we make the market go down, and sometimes it's a losing proposition, and sometimes it breaks our hearts and our wallets and so on. But in the end, it is conducive to freedom. We, the people, run the free market. They, the government, run the manipulated markets. Where do you want to be? And the government says, oh, well, we're protecting you. We're protecting your investment. Well, yeah, they are. But sooner or later, the truth is going to out. And when it does, those of you who are relying on government manipulation, you're going to find out that it can't last forever. Bernanke just suggests we're not going to be able to manipulate forever. Market moves 250 points. Huh? It's just evidence we are going in bad directions. And when it breaks, it's going to make for a catastrophic collapse in this country. It won't be a small thing. You know, if we have just a true free market and we panic, we the people, we the investors, do something stupid and we panic and the market falls 1,000 points, it falls 2,000 points. All right, some people get hurt. I get that. But it creates great buying opportunities for other people. It weeds some of the stupidity out of the market. A lot of people don't believe in or don't belong in the stock markets in the first place. They've tried to run it as if it's a video arcade where everybody can play the game, and now they try to protect us where you can't ever lose. You can't, you know, it's just irrational. In the end, it's irrational. In the end, it's wrong. It's evidence of centralization rather than individual freedom. It works against us so many different ways that we are better off to pay the price that's associated with a free market than we are to try to protect ourselves from life by having a manipulated market. And it's another one of those illustrations, to my mind at least, that somebody's got to start dealing with the truth. Somebody's got to start working with the truth, not just what is politically correct. We've got to abandon that and get back to some hard, objective reality. And if we can do that, then who knows? We may be able to salvage and recover. But if we're not going to deal with the truth, you want to insist on dancing with the stars and government manipulation of the market and quantitative easing and pieces of paper that we use as if they were money, but they're not. Well, then guess what? There's going to be hard, hard times in the foreseeable future. I can't tell you when, but we will get there. And most people listening to this program will live long enough to see those hard times hit. And when it does, people are going to be screaming, wanting to know what happened, what went wrong. What went wrong is we watched Dancing with the Stars. We didn't learn. We didn't study. We spent more time watching TV than we spent reading books, for example, and making it our business to learn something and make it our business to perceive what's really happening, not what we're being told. You know? This doesn't apply to everyone, but it has applied to too many people over the past couple of generations in this country. Now we're going to pay a price for it. So, what else have we got, Melody?
And you know, the government ends up owning shares in the firms to which they provide loans for. I mean, they actually came out in 2008 when we had the big problems. They came out and admitted when they, you know, tried to stabilize the markets. And you also want to know who's the players. Well, who you have in there is you have the Secretary of Treasury, you have the Federal Reserve, you have the SEC, and you have the CFTC. Those were the...
And those are the people responsible for stopping a plunge if it begins to take place.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're supposed to work in concert. And it, again, sounds like a great idea, but it's like raising children in a bubble. Everybody's seen the story of the bubble boy. He has a defective immune system, and therefore he has to be raised in a bubble because he can't go out and risk... Any pathogen will get them. Well, we could do the same thing with every one of your children, ladies and gentlemen. As soon as they're born, as soon as they pop out of the womb, we put them in a plastic bubble, and they'll never get any germs. Sounds like a great idea, and they'll never be sick. But they will also never live. Huh? They'll live in the bubble. They'll be a prisoner in that little bubble. You and I have become prisoners in the bubbles that our government has created. We are being denied the opportunity to build our own immune system by getting out there and actually pushing and shoving in the real world, dealing with it objectively. We have immune systems that can fight off these problems. We are not helpless. We are not born to be dependents. But nevertheless, that's what we have in many instances become. And many of us don't want to be anything but dependents. Many of us can't imagine living life as an independent man or woman. We've been educated to believe that we have to depend on government. 40% of the people in this country, according to some reports, are their income depends on government. They're not producing anything. This is not tolerable. It's not tenable. The whole country's going to go broke. We're going to plunge ourselves. We're going to destroy this nation and put us into a situation comparable to when the Soviet Union self-destructed back around 1990. We're going to do it with our own stupidity, and the only thing that can stop it from happening is if we start to get both smart and tough and make it abundantly clear to our congressmen, who are a pack of treasonous whores for sale to the highest bidder, and those highest bidders will be corporations. We're going to have to make it abundantly clear that, look, if you want to come back to this part of the country, all right? If you want your family to grow up in whatever part of the country you've got your home, you better start doing what's right for the people and not what's right for your reelection, not what's right for major corporations. You do what's right for the American people. It's going to have to be made to happen. And if you want to trust every smiling SOB who runs for Congress and he looks like he's from Central Casting in Hollywood and he's running for Congress and you vote for him because he's got a great smile, you be dumb, and you are going to pay a price, and your children are going to pay a price until you find sufficient knowledge and courage to stand up in public and say, to hell with all that. It's got to end. And not 5 years from now, not 10 years from now, now. It's got to end now.
Well,
what else, Melody?
You talk too much, Al.
Uh-huh.
We didn't get to the, we have another question in, and we also have a, we didn't get to the point where Lou taps government retiree pension funds. Well, I was under the impression that Timmy Geithner, little Timmy Geithner, was already doing that the first of the year. So it's interesting to say that he's going to be tapping into the two government employee retirement funds. So I don't know if these are different pension funds of the government employees than Timmy Geithner did, but or perhaps after Timmy Geithner left, maybe they had to reissue, or, you know, perhaps his length of time that Geithner wanted to do it expired. So he is going to continue to do it under his watch.
You know, the point remains, the Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew said late Monday, that he will begin tapping into two government employee retirement funds to buy more time before the U.S. Treasury is faced with the prospect of defaulting on the national debt, and they anticipate that they are going to default on the national debt. I saw it in the article, and I don't see it right in front of them. They're anticipating the default. They can buy, they can hold things together until something like September.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
But
what does that tell you, ladies and gentlemen? They've only got a few months more before this whole thing hits the fan. By their own admissions, they're trying to avoid defaulting on the debt limit. As late as, no, the other estimates say Lou may be able to forestall a default until as late as November. It tells us that come third quarter, fourth quarter of this year, the government is likely going to default on the debt. When it does, we're going to see the events we've warned you about on this program for years, the idea that when the debt is defaulted on, the pieces of paper that memorialize those debts, like bonds, are going to be, to some degree, shown to be worthless. We don't know how bad this is going to go, don't know how far it's going to go, but when it happens, there is going to be big, big trouble. Those of you who are holding gold, when that trouble hits, are going to be far better off than those of you who are holding paper. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'll be back with Melody tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.